Good afternoon, everyone. I feel that it's been a long week that I haven't seen you all because we are not here in Brussels, and it's good that we are back again to Brussels, and we really thank God that He made it possible for us that we traveled so long and we are back to Brussels, back to home, and we really thank God for that. And it's good to be among you all for the Sunday worship. Okay. In today's lessons that we are going to see about the book that Paul wrote to the book to the church of Philippi. That's a book called Philippians. So just to give a brief background about the letter. But before that, this letter is it's a very good letter that Paul has written, and there are many useful thoughts that we need to think about and to make use of this, because Paul is actually addressing it to a church, and let us consider that Paul is addressing to this church as well. And we'll try to see the important points what Paul is highlighting in this letter. And to just give you a brief overview or a background about this letter is, it's a kind of a thank you note that Paul is writing to the believers of the church in Philippi for the help that they have done to Paul in when he was in need, and also to send some instructions to the Christians about Christian unity. So his thought to the church is very simple, that he wants to insist the church that only in Christ the real unity is there and the joy is also possible. So with Christ as a model of humility, because that we read in the during the Lord's Supper, so he wants us to have Jesus Christ as the role model for humility and service, and that we can enjoy a oneness of purpose, attitude, goal and labor. So this is a very important thing that Paul wants to illustrate to the church members. And he also wants to highlight that there were few people who did not like the way that the gospel was spreading across the Philippians, the church in the Philippi, that he wants to insist them that what they are doing is not correct and what has to be done. And finally, Paul also insists the church that they have to stand fast, to be strengthened in faith, and to have the same mind among the brothers and among the church believers, and to rejoice in the Lord always, and also to be thanksgiving in everything. So because God is giving a lot of blessings to us, and Paul really insists them that you have to be thankful to God and do everything in prayer. So these are few things that we can highlight from this letter, and we will discuss few more into the letter while we read this book. And another important thing is that this is the first church that Paul has founded in the place of Macedonia. So this is the first church which is at Philippi. So Paul opens this letter with a thanksgiving and a prayer. If we can read from the Philippians, first chapter, verses 3 until 11. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, for whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. So here we see that Paul really wants to thank the church members, that they were really helpful with him in spreading the gospel, and he is also praying for them that they accepted the gospel, and he wants them to continue until the day of Jesus Christ. When he is coming back, Paul wants the church to continue the good work that they are doing now. And this is a kind of a thanksgiving because they have helped him a lot, and he also prays for him, and he is very happy for the church. And another important thing that we have to understand here, Paul is in prison, that he is writing this letter to the Philippians, and that he is really happy that he is in prison. This is not so really understandable for us, that how he can rejoice even when he is in prison. But Paul writes about this further in the same chapter, how he is able to be happy that he is in prison. It's not normal that we will be happy in this situation, because there are certain reasons why he is in prison, but he feels quite happy for that. And when we continue to read through the same chapter, we can read the reason why he feels that he is happy. So I can read from verse 12 until 17. There we see Paul's chain advances the gospel. He is happy that he is in prison, and that is one of the reasons that the gospel is able to spread to each and every place. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. So Paul clearly explains that he is happy because he is in prison, that he is able to advance the gospel to all around the palace and all through the palace guard. And this, he feels that this also encourages his brothers in the church. They are encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. They see that Paul is in prison, but still they are not fearful. They are not hiding anything, but they are encouraged to preach the word of God to everyone. And he also says that some people do it for the good purpose and some people do it for the bad purpose, because they want to create more troubles for Paul. But the people who really preach the gospel for goodwill, he is happy that they will receive the blessings of God. And furthermore, when we read from 18 until 21, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. It's a beautiful mentality that Paul is in this situation. He sees that he is in prison. He is being punished for the only reason that he is preaching the gospel. But still he believes that, and not ashamed of it, because by any reason Christ is being preached to everyone. And he also believes that in either way, through my body, Christ is being exalted. He is being glorified. He is being praised, either by death or by life. And finally he says, for me, Christ is life and to die is gain. So his life, he is not considering his life so worthful, but he says, even for Christ, I am willing to die, because he believes that dying for Christ is a big gain for him. And when we continue to read in the chapter 2, that he starts illustrating the example of Jesus Christ, how to look after Jesus and how to follow Jesus and what are the specialities and good qualities that we can extract from Jesus. If we can read from the chapter 2, verses 1 until 4. And before that, by the end of the chapter 1, Paul really again instructs and informs the church that they want to be one in spirit. If we can read from verse 27 until 30 in the chapter 1. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand in firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved by that God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. So Paul really explains that to keep himself as an example, guys, see myself, I am here struggling just because the only reason that I want to preach the gospel of Christ, and take me as an example, don't be discouraged, be courageous and fearlessly preach the gospel, because you are not only called just to have all the blessings in Christ, but also to suffer for Christ. So this is a very important point that we as a Christian should also understand, that there are many difficulties that if you really want to apply yourself to live as a Christian. So not only blessings are kept in the life of a Christian, but there are also a lot of struggles and we need to suffer a lot. But at the end of the day, when Jesus Christ is coming back, then we will have the reward what he has actually kept for us. So any suffering, any discomfort, when we get it through Christ, it's always good to have it, and we should rejoice for it, like how Paul was able to rejoice. And when we continue to read in the second chapter, verses 1 until 4, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, in any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only on your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So here Paul really preaches to the church members that they have to consider everyone equal. Don't be selfish, don't be greedy. Try to see what other people's needs are. Don't only look after you, but also think about others. And he also wants them to have the same love to be shared with everyone. He also wants them to have the same being in one spirit and to have the same purpose. So this is a very important thing, for we as a church should have the same mind, same thought, same spirit and same purpose that we should serve. And to have the same joy and same love that we spread across each other. And we should also ensure that we should not only look into our own interest, but also to the interest of others. And later on he explains about Jesus Christ, and he wants us to have the same attitude as that of Christ. We read these verses in the Lord's Supper, and I am not going to read it again. This is a very good example for us that we can look after Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was equal to God, but he never claimed that, and he never wanted to do it, and he, being the very nature of God, did not consider the equality, but he himself made nothing, that he wanted to be a servant for everyone, and he humbled himself to the down to the earth. That's how we can term him. that he humbled himself and became very obedient to the death. So we as a Christian, we should also be obedient to God and also to the words that are written in the Bible. These are the words that will really teach us how to live our life and what are the commandments that we have to extract from the Bible. So this is a very good example that we have to look after Jesus Christ and what happened to him. He being almost a God, but he didn't claim it, but he was very obedient and he finally completed what God commanded him. And we see what happened to Jesus Christ after the cross. If we read in verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Likewise, even when we humble ourselves, we can read in the book of Luke, when we see the parable between the priest and the tax collector, there we read, the person who humbles himself will be exalted, and the person who exalts himself will be humbled. So, looking at Jesus, we as a Christian should humble ourselves completely, so that we can be as obedient as Jesus was. And later in the chapter, Paul also gives the believers an example that how they should be among the other non-believers. Paul wants them to be as a shining star. If we can read from verse 12 until 16. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Sometimes it's quite normal in other churches. I have seen some churches where when the preacher is there, they behave differently, and when he is not there, they behave differently. You can see the contrasting behavior of them when he is not there. But here, Paul really gives an example for others to look after this church, and he really says that you guys have been obedient even when I am there and even when I am not there. So this is a very important thing for us to look after. So we should not look after a specific person to be obedient to God or not, but to be always obedient, because that is how God is expecting us. And when we read from verse 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, and in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. So we, in our daily lives, when we work for the Christ, when we really do something for Christ, this is the reward that we might get. At the end of the day, when Jesus Christ is coming back, we can be really sure that I did not do anything in vain. I ran my life for Christ, and it will not be in vain, because Christ will give me the blessed reward that I will get at the last end of the day. And here Paul again insists that you should be shining as a star, because other people who are looking at you should really think, oh, these guys, he is a Christian and I can see his life, how he is living, his character, his behavior is totally different than other people. So that is how Paul wants them to be. You should be like a shining star, because this world is not the world that God is really expecting to them, because God wants everyone to be obedient, but none of them are as obedient as God is expecting. But we, very few people who has really accepted God, he wants us to be like a shining star, so that other people who look at us should be feel happy, and they should also think, oh, since they believe God, since they follow the correct God, we should also do it. So this is a very good example for us that we should be an example for other people who are looking after us, that we should be a role model for them. And when we look into the chapter 3, Paul writes about himself. Paul really wants to give the church a very good example, a living example, how he accepted Jesus Christ, what was his situation before he accepted Christ, and what is his situation now, what made him to turn to this situation that he is one of the best apostles that Jesus Christ had. I can read from verse 1 until 4. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship the Spirit of God, who glory in Jesus Christ, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Sometimes we think that we really feel proud. Oh, I am the preacher and I have been born as a Christian, so it doesn't need to be fully obliged to follow all the commandments. But here we can see that Paul is a real example that he didn't feel so confident in his flesh. If we can read from verse 4 until verse 6, we can read the background of Paul. Who is he? Where is he coming from? What happened to him, and how come he accepted Jesus Christ? If I can read from verse 4. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, he is saying that I can feel so proud that I have been a very good person even before accepting Christ. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as a zeal, persecuting the church, as for legislative righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having the righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. So he says that he claims that he has been a very fantastic personality. If we can read in the book of Acts 22, Acts 22 verses 3 until 6, this is the place Paul really explains that how he met Jesus Christ and what happened actually. In verse 3, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city. Under Gamaliel, I was thoroughly trained in the law of our father and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. As also the high priest and all the council can testify, I even obtained letters from them to their brothers in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. So before he became a Christian, he really wanted to be a very good soldier for the God. He didn't believe in Jesus Christ before that. But even before he met Jesus Christ, he really wanted to be a very good soldier for God. He has a very good educational background, not like other apostles that we have seen so far. But Paul is a very good educated person. Here we see that under Gamaliel, he is one of the high priests. So he has a very good educational background, and he is a Jew, that he can claim of anything that he is a Hebrew. But all these days he was doing wrong. That's what he is trying to explain. That all these days I have been troubling the church members. I have arrested many men and women and I have put them in prison just because I just wanted to complete the law. I just fought for the law. But later, when we read the remaining chapter, we see that he met Jesus Christ and then he believed that he is the Christ. And from then on, Paul has been insisting and Paul has been following what Jesus Christ has kept for him. So, in Philippians chapter 3 until verse from 1 until 11, we have seen that so far I have thought about many things. In verse 7, we see, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. If I need Christ, I need to sacrifice everything in this life. All these things are useless for me when I consider Christ, because Christ is so precious for me. So this is a very important thing that we as a Christian should think about. These earthly pleasures, these earthly things are not so important for us. But other than these things, Christ is very important for us. So looking at Christ, all these earthly things are useless, are of no gain for us. And later on in chapter 3, verse 12 until 16, Paul again insists that many people think that they are saved. Okay, I was a non-believer, I believe in gospel, and now I accepted Christ, I am baptized, and that's all. I am saved. I have nothing to do from here. But Paul says that no, you're not done with it. You should keep pressing towards the goal until the day when Jesus Christ is coming back. From verse until 12 until 14. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold for me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to be taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. So even for us, we should also strive forward toward what is the goal that has been kept ahead. There have been many bad things in our past, but here Paul says, just leave everything behind you. Forget everything, whatever is behind you, and look forward, straining towards what is ahead. Because Jesus, at the end of the world, when Jesus Christ is coming back, each and every one of us will be given a prize, and it's our duty and responsibility that we need to keep looking forward and keep pressing towards the goal to win the prize. And if we can read from verse 17 until 19, he explains many people, like many preachers, they think earthly. They want to live and finish their life here in this earth. In verse 17, join with others in following my example. Paul wants us to follow his example, brothers, and take a note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For, as I often told you before and now, say again even with tears, many live as enemies for the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Paul has met some people, like he has been advising them many times, and now he says that I am advising you again, even with tears, that I really feel sorry for you, that these people, their destiny is destruction. The way that they are going ahead is not the right way that God is expecting from them. And they really want to work for their own flesh. Their God is their stomach. When the stomach is full, they are done. So they have completed the work. So So always they work for the earthly pleasures. Their mind is on earthly things. But for us, as a good Christian, if you really want to live as a proper Christian, in verse 20 we see, our citizenship is in heaven. So that we have nothing to do with this world. There are no earthly pleasures that we should expect, because we are not belonging to this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. At the end of the world, we will become like a glorious body, and we will be along with Christ. So our citizenship, we do not belong to this earth, that we should remind ourselves that we have nothing to do with this world. We are just going to live here, but this is not a permanent place for us. And so there is nothing to spend our concentration to the earthly things, but always to look forward to the prize that Jesus Christ and the God has kept for us. And when we move on to the chapter 4, he really appreciates, and Paul really wants us to be always rejoiceful. In verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. So, Paul insists that we should always be thankful, that we should always be rejoiceful, because in the chapter 1, we saw that even when he is in prison, he has the mentality to be rejoiceful. He was able to rejoice because even in this situation, I am able to preach the gospel to many people. So likewise, we should make use of each and every opportunity that comes our way, and to make some fruitful effort that we preach the gospel to at least few people that we can. And in verses 4, chapter 4, verse 8 until 9, before that we can read verse 11 until 12, where he explains himself that he has learned to be content in any circumstances. Verse 11 and 12 in chapter 4. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So this is a very good example that we have to look after Paul. Even when there is a situation we have plenty, that we should not be really proud. And when we have nothing, that we should not be very sorrowful. We should be able to be in contempt at any kind of a situation in our life. Like here he says, because he says the reason in verse 13, I can do everything through him who gives me the strength. Paul really believes in Christ. Through Christ I can do anything. Christ gives me the strength. And likewise, for us, even for us, Christ is the one that we have to look for. And through him we can do anything in this life. And finally, verse 8 until 9, Paul explains that you have seen many things in me, you have heard many things about me, through me, and please put it into practice. In verse 8 and 9, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. So we have learned many things today. And as Paul is expecting the church brothers in Philippi to put all these things into practice. And likewise, let us also try to put all these good things, all these instructions that Paul is telling to Philippians, like we can also think about that he is telling to us, and let us also try to put it into practice in our spiritual life, and the God of peace will be with us. Amen.